Our first scripture lesson today are words from the prophet Isaiah from the 42nd chapter, verses 1 through 9. Listen now for God's word to you in this reading of scripture. Here is my servant whom I am uphold, my chosen in whom my soul delights. I have put my spirit upon him. He will bring forth justice to the nations. He will not cry or lift up his voice or make it heard in the street. A bruised reed he will not break, and a dimly burning wick he will not quench. He will faithfully bring forth justice. He will not grow faint or be crushed until he has established justice in the earth, and the coastlands wait for his teaching. Thus says God the Lord, who created the heavens and stretched them out, who spread out the earth and what comes from it, who gives breath to the people upon it, and spirit to those who walk in it. I am the Lord. I have called you in righteousness. I have taken you by the hand and kept you. I have given you as a covenant to the people, a light to the nations, to open the eyes that are blind, to bring out the prisoners from the dungeon, from the prison those who sit in darkness. I am the Lord. That is my name. My glory I give to no other, nor my praise to idols. See, the former things have come to pass, and new things I now declare. Before they spring forth, I will tell you of them. For the word in creation, for the word in scripture, for the word within us, thanks be to God.
Our sermon scripture this morning comes to us from Mark's gospel. I'll be reading from the very first chapter, the first 20 verses. This comes from the narrative lectionary, which is just a wee bit longer and gives us a bigger chunk of the story. Listen now for God's word to and for us. The good news of Jesus Christ, the message, begins here, following to the letter, the scroll of the prophet Isaiah. And by the way, I'm reading from Eugene Peterson's paraphrase of the Bible, The Message. Watch closely. I'm sending my preacher ahead of you. He'll make the road smooth for you. Thunder in the desert. Prepare for God's arrival. Make the road smooth and straight. John the baptizer appeared in the wild, preaching a baptism of life change that leads to the forgiveness of sin. People thronged to John from Judea and Jerusalem, and they confessed their sins, were baptized by him in the Jordan River into a changed life. John wore a camel hair habit tied at the waist with a leather belt. He ate locust and wild field honey. As he preached, he said, "The real action comes next. The star in this drama, to whom I'm a mere stagehand, will change your life. I'm baptizing you here in the river, turning your old life in for a kingdom life. His baptism, a holy baptism by the Holy Spirit, will change you from the inside out." At this time, Jesus came from Nazareth in Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And the moment that he came out of the water, he saw the sky split open and God's Spirit, looking like a dove, come down upon him. Along with the Spirit, a voice which said, "You are my Son, chosen and marked by my love, the pride of my life." At once, the same Spirit pushed Jesus out into the wild, and for 40 days he spent in the wilderness and nights, and he was tested by Satan. Wild animals were his companions, and the angels took care of him. After John was arrested, Jesus went to Galilee, preaching the message of God. Time's up. God's kingdom is here. Change your life and believe the message. Passing along the beach of the Lake of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew net fishing. Fishing was their regular work, and Jesus called them, "Come with me, and I'll make a new kind of fisherman out of you. I'll show you how to catch men and women instead of perch and bass." A dozen yards or so down the beach, he saw the brothers James and John, Zebedee's sons. They were in a boat mending their fish nets, and right off he made the same offer. And immediately they left their father Zebedee, the boat, and the hired hands, and they followed Jesus. For the word in creation, for the word in scripture, for the word within us, thanks be to God. I invite you to join me in prayer. Oh Lord, there is a sweet, sweet spirit in this place, and we welcome your Holy Spirit. We are so grateful for your word that is alive and has something new to say each and every time it is read and proclaimed. And so I ask, oh God, that you would help each of us tune in to what you would say to us today, because you have not come, all these folks here have not come to hear a human word, but a word from you. So I ask your blessing on my speaking and all of our hearing this day, in this place, at this time. In Jesus' name, amen. One of the most memorable New Year's Eves that I can remember was a time that we spent in Asheville with friends. Our time there, of course, included the candlelight tour at the Biltmore Mansion. It was a sensory overload experience. If you've ever been there, you know this. You can hear the carolers singing in the solarium, and then there are so many trees, dozens of hand-decorated trees, we were told, and also over 1,000 poinsettias and garland everywhere you look, strung with lights. It was beautiful. But what impressed me even more than all of that were the many stories of the way that the original owners of the home, George and Edith Vanderbilt, in their own unique ways, shared the hospitality of Christ, not only with those in their families, but with those in the larger community. Their home, we were told, was open to family and friends, especially during the season of Christmas, for weeks and Advent, for weeks at a time. The Vanderbilts were known for their generosity. They had 30 servants, and Edith, Mrs. Vanderbilt, would hand select gifts for each and every child. Not only that, but they were generous with the whole community of Asheville, and they bought Christmas presents for the children in Asheville at that time. They were a couple who knew how to keep Christmas. They understood the meaning of hospitality, and they graciously shared their treasures. Today, on this Baptism of the Lord Sunday, we celebrate the ultimate treasure that God has shared with each of us by joining with us in baptism. By joining with us in baptism, Jesus comes to us, travels with us, and takes on our burdens when no one else in their right mind would. After his baptism, it was as if Jesus just packed up all of our sins in a knapsack, tied it to a branch, and threw it over his shoulder and started his walk towards Calvary. In joining with us in his baptism, Christ travels with each and every one of us, is nearer than our very breath, comes and makes a home with us, offering us the radical hospitality of God's love and God's grace for a lifetime on this side of the grave and on the next. Perhaps you remember the scene in the Star Wars movie, The Force Awakens. The heroine in that movie, if it's been a while or if you never saw it, its name is Rey. She finds herself in this intergalactical bar, and she feels compelled to go to the basement, and there she finds a trunk. And when she opens the trunk, she discovers a lightsaber. This lightsaber has been calling and calling to her. Throughout the movie, she gradually understands that she has been destined to be a conduit through which the Force keeps the forces of darkness and evil at bay. Before she was even in a position to understand, let alone respond, the Force has chosen her. In baptism, God does the same thing for us. In Christ, God accepts us and claims us as God's own. Before we are even born, let alone in a position to respond. Jesus could have come in a number of different ways to us. He could have come as a mighty warrior to overthrow the Romans who had occupied their land. Jesus could have appeared in Jerusalem among the religious and political rulers, but he didn't do any of that. Instead, after his baptism and after his time in the desert, Jesus began his ministry by coming to just ordinary people like you and I, that God just thinks are extraordinary. God took the initiative, and just as Jesus did, instead of going to any of those places, God came, as we just read a little bit ago in Mark's gospel, to Simon and Andrew, ordinary fishermen. They're on the shore and they're casting out their nets, and invited them. And then he went on and also did the same, and James and John followed him as well. Jesus comes to us and to them right as they are, accepting us right as we are and inviting us to follow. On this baptism of the Lord's Sunday, I think it's most exciting that we also were reminded that God's words to Jesus at his baptism when the sky split open, and I really like Eugene Peterson's paraphrase. He says, God says, "You are my child, chosen and marked by my love, the pride of my life." Those become God's words to us when we are baptized. One of the best ways we can, I believe, each in our own way, continue to grow into our baptism identities as God's beloved children is by sharing the grace of Christ wider and deeper. Said another way, John the Baptist's call says, "Prepare the way of the Lord." It's a call for all Christians of every place and time to keep working to make God's love visible to the world by extending radical hospitality. And it's the radical hospitality of Christ. Radical hospitality, if you haven't thought about it that way before, is the intentional and prayerful practice of extending the welcome and relationship that we have all been blessed with in Christ. What might we as a church at Trinity do to widen and deepen that welcome? As Fran said just a little bit ago, this is the time when we make New Year's resolutions, and it's a time when our session will be meeting in February to look at the year and pray and listen for God's leading and tweak what needs to be tweaked. If churches made New Year's resolutions to practice not just hospitality, but radical hospitality year-round, what more impact might we have as a church in this neighborhood and beyond? After all, we are the neighborhood church. The practice of radical hospitality starts with prayer. That is, asking God to open our eyes as a church to the needs of others and then reaching out to meet them in that need. Just as Jesus developed relationships with the disciples, we are to do the same. We become radically hospitable when we follow our leader Jesus and loving others by taking the first step, taking the initiative, getting out of our comfort zone. Radical hospitality is personal. It's prayerful and intentionally reaching out and inviting others to experience the greatest treasure of all, a relationship with Christ. Jesus didn't stay in the synagogue waiting for people to come to him. This morning's scripture reading reminds us that he did go out. He went out to the shores of the Sea of Galilee, and there he called the first four disciples. John Wesley, the father of Methodism, shared radical hospitality by following in Christ's footsteps. He didn't wait for people to come to the church. He took the good news to them by preaching to thousands on the roadsides, and in open fields in order to reach the poorest and most often overlooked people, including coal miners, field laborers, and factory workers. Now, Trinity Presbyterian Church, you may be thinking, and I sure am, is already a very hospitable church. All you have to do is walk through the door, and the sense of welcome and acceptance and friendliness just kind of wraps around you. You can feel it. And we are the neighborhood church, and we do a lot in the neighborhood to share the radical hospitality of Christ by feeding the hungry through the manna box. Thank you all for all of your fabulous donations that have filled up the closets in room 16. Thank you. 14, 16. We're meeting 14 for the new members. I'll get it straight. And also our partnership with Pinellas Hope and providing warm accommodations through our partnership with the Cold Night Shelter, a new ministry that has just been added. Trinity has also offered hospitality and grace to our neighborhood partners at Skycrest Elementary, a school that is 100% on reduced and free lunch. Also to Close to Kids and through the Shalom Orphanage, giving orphans a place to live and a place to learn and to get good food and to grow and to thrive. And what could be more wonderful, I ask you, than receiving a warm blanket from Sewing Hope, a child that can wrap themselves in that blanket and hopefully feel God's love transmitted that way, or our many members who, when they are sick or in the hospital, get the same thing. I got one when I had COVID. I love my blanket. We do all of these things and more, but still, there is more we can do, even though our numbers aren't the numbers that they used to be. Paul urges Christians to practice active hospitality, saying, "Welcome one another, therefore, just as Christ has welcomed you, for the glory of God." We have a responsibility and a joy to pass on the gift that we have received of abundant life in Jesus Christ. Once we truly experience the gift of that relationship, we can't help but share it with others. As followers of Christ, we take that initiative to guide others to the relationship with the Lord, meeting them where they are, risking awkwardness and inconvenience to extend grace by meeting them in their need. God has done great things through Trinity Presbyterian Clearwater, but what greater things might God do? If each and every one of us made the decision to prayerfully follow in Christ's footsteps and share the grace of God a little bit more through radical hospitality. Just imagine the impact this church might have on building the kingdom if each friend and member of the church would take personal responsibility for practicing daily radical hospitality in 2023. What if each person who is a member or friend of the church made up his or her mind to either invite someone to Trinity once a week this year or take a newcomer under his or her wing to make sure they feel genuinely welcome, or just reach out to somebody that you see that is in need? You know, one thing I love about shopping at Publix is when you can't find anything, all you have to do is ask a Publix worker, and they take you right to the item. Now, of course, they have a profit motive, but I also think that that's a gesture of hospitality. Food is important, but how much more precious is a relationship with Christ? And what a joy to be able to help someone find his or her way to the Lord or reconnect with the Lord. Who are the people that God placed in your life that led you to a relationship with Christ? Perhaps it was a friend who invited you to Sunday school as a child, or a grandmother who prayed with you and took you to vacation Bible school. Maybe there was a pastor in your past who took time to listen or to pray with you. Where would you be today if they hadn't made that effort? We may not have a home like the Vanderbilts, but we have a treasure even more priceless to share. Even though we will put away the Advent and the Christmas decorations in just a little while, and even though the Advent and the Christmas season has ended, the gift that we have in Christ is a gift that we continue to enjoy and we can continue to share each and every day. Now that's the best re-gift I've ever heard of. Construction on the Biltmore Mansion began with laying the foundation in 1889. The foundation walls, we were told when we went on that tour, were 29 feet high and 14 feet wide. And with that foundation, the Biltmore has stood the test of time. Likewise, as we stand on the brink of a new year, we have another chance to grow up into our discipleship, into our baptisms. One little change, the prayerful intention of practicing intentional, radical hospitality set into motion could make a world of difference, not only in our lives, but in the lives of others. I can't think of a better way to be even more faithful to our church's mission statement than practicing radical hospitality so that all people know God's loving presence. I invite you to pray with me. Giver of all good gifts, today we are especially thankful for the gift beyond all gifts that we have received in a relationship with Jesus Christ. We thank you that he joined with us in baptism and is always with us. Help us to share that gift, both as individuals and as your church, in a deeper and wider way in this new year through the radical hospitality made known to us by your Son, Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen. That song makes cry. God has chosen us and called us beloved, each and every one of us, in our baptism. And we get another chance, another year, to live into our identity of that is truest to who we truly are as God's beloved, and to share what has been shared with us with others. So go out into the world in peace. Have courage. Return no one evil for evil. Strengthen the faint-hearted, support the weak. Help the suffering, rejoicing in the power of the Holy Spirit. And may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord be kind and gracious to you. May the Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Alleluia, and all of God's people said, Amen. Amen.